Hello and welcome back to another edition of Editing Aloud. And we have with us on the show for the first time today, Genevieve Quintal, the new political editor at Business Day. Welcome, Genevieve.
Thank you. And
we'll talk about a Business Day story to start with. Page 2, Moody's expects SA confidence to rise after poll, says the headline. Sunita Menon, the economics correspondent. South Africa is expected to see a surge in confidence after the general election in May, as President Cyril Ramaphosa's administration continues to move forward gradually with implementation of its reform agenda, says Moody's Investors Service. Is that pie in the sky? I mean, are they dreaming?
Peter, Moody's have been our biggest fan, so to speak, amongst the major rating agencies. They have really gone out of their way all the time to give us a chance. That statement really formalizes or confirms that view. They hope Cyril Ramaphosa will get a popular mandate to continue with the reforms after May, and this they think will enable the president to get bold and implement these decisions, these reforms, shrink the cabinet, and indeed, hopefully, do the reforms that are needed to stabilize Eskom. That is what they've been hoping for. If you remember, they were supposed to update their credit rating on us at the end of March. They didn't, because had they acted, they would have had no option but to downgrade us to junk status. So they will, after this...
What's a negative outlook? I mean, they had that one step to go, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what they are doing now with this, they are actually saying, look, if you South Africans vote the way we think you should, and that's Cyril Ramaphosa, I know they have another, they have
a so you think there's an agenda, yeah.
Panel. At least there's one person in this panel who agrees with that view.
And his name is
Peter Bruce. His name is Peter Bruce. Yeah. So Moody's and Peter Bruce would like us to vote for Cyril Ramaphosa in order to for the reform program of the ANC to continue.
Juanita Hunter, do you think there's an agenda here? I mean, this is a ratings agency captured by Ramaphoria, or are they sort of hard nosed and just doing their job properly because their clients invest money here?
Yeah. I think there's nothing to suggest that they're basing this opinion on anything tangible. There hasn't been any pop. Like, when people talk about a reform plan, there isn't one physical reform plan that we can look at and say, this is what Ramaphosa is going to do. So this is entirely goodwill and Ramaphoria, some sort of optimism to say, okay, things have been really bad. The only way up now, the only way from here is up. And I'm quite suspicious of this for the simple fact that what we've seen from last February up until now, this constant push and pull between the interdynamics within the ANC, almost at times leaving the president hamstrung. And I think that to expect that you're going to get the popular vote, which most polls are predicting that it's going to go that way, and then on the 22nd of May he will be elected president by parliament. On the 25th of May he will be inaugurated as president, and then no one's expecting what's going to happen the 26th of May when he is announcing his cabinet,
right.
And people may not be satisfied at what the cabinet looks like, because it's going to be
people in his own party.
No, I'm saying people watching, may not be completely satisfied.
But Genevieve, it's inevitable that there will be people in his cabinet who are there for political reasons and not because they're necessarily technically competent.
Absolutely. And I think what we forget is politicians are chameleons. Those who were maybe on the Zuma side or the wrong side before are very quickly to change their tune and sing this on the same page as Ramaphosa. But with the Moody's thing, I think what they could also be using is that in the last year, I guess Ramaphosa has done things like change the SARS commissioner, change the head of the NDPP, and maybe that gives people some positivity in terms of, he said in his first State of the Nation, I will be fixing these things, and he has started doing that. But sometimes it can be a bit cosmetic, because it's all good and well to change the head of an institution, but there's still so much rot inside the institutions. Yeah. We've seen with SARS, all those people that were under Tom Moyane on the exco are still there. So it's all good and well to change people on the top. And I think that might be having the positive effect for Moody's on why they maybe see a reform still coming, because they have seen certain reforms happening. But I think we've got to look deep in that. There's still a lot of work to be done underneath all the, I'd say, cosmetic changes.
Is it reasonable to give him this little bit of ground, and that you cannot change an institution like the NPA or like SARS without changing the who's in control? In other words, you don't change the Sunday Times by finding a new deputy news editor. You go for the top job. You change the editor. I'm business. I'm not picking on the Sunday Times or whatever. But you have to start at the top.
Absolutely.
And then he can't. It's not his job to fiddle with who is the deputy or this senior this or the senior that.
But I give you an example. The Nugent report sat, right?
Yeah.
And it was a incredibly detailed process,
yeah, yeah,
and made multiple recommendations.
Really?
Only one tiny bit of it was replace the head of SARS.
Yeah.
But there were things like overhauling the law, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that process, which the finance minister needs to spearhead, okay, one may consider, okay, now, you know, Parliament has been, on a recess, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is that everyone around the president is buying into this cosmetic change.
Mm.
And that, for me, is worrying. Because, okay, we changed the head of the NPA. That should solve it.
Can I ask that? On the Nugent Commission recommendations, are there things that could already have been done that Nugent recommended that didn't need a new head of SARS to implement?
Absolutely. The spearheading of new legislation. There's a whole section of the report that just recommends changing of the law, for example, in how to appoint a new commissioner.
Yeah.
The same thing with the NDPP. The court has made that finding that there needs to be a new system in how an NDPP, if they were serious about it, Shamila Batohi the interviews were last November, December.
Yeah.
By January, they should have already started saying, the justice ministers had said, I need to start spearheading legislation, fast-tracking it through Parliament, so that you could have the systems in place. The health minister has been going on and on and on about the fact that the dysfunction in the health sector is as a result of too much of delegated powers to
It's still too little being done. And it's because Ramaphosa feels that he's trapped or genuinely doesn't want to do anything about some of these.
The reality of the ANC is that, unfortunately for him, he's got to get the buy-in of the people surrounding him.
Yeah.
Not only the top six, but the whole National Executive Committee, which we know is very incompetent. And people actually, half of them were working for the state capture project.
Yeah.
They have not given up. They may very well be queuing up for jobs in cabinet and in other places. They won't give up. They won't immediately just turn around and go in his direction. Certainly, each day he gains perhaps one or two more members from the other side, from the opposition within the ANC to the other side. So, his biggest problem is going to come when he must appoint a cabinet. If you have people like Malusi Gigaba and Batabile Dlamini, all of them in the top 20, queuing for cabinet positions, and the NEC resolution said the top 50 members in the candidates list cannot be interfered with.
Yeah.
You're going to have to choose your cabinet from there. The president of the Women's League will probably come back into cabinet.
Yeah.
So will Nomvula Mukonyane, and indeed the candidate of the Youth League, Malusi Gigaba.
Can I just ask you a question? Are you seriously saying that Malusi Gigaba will be back in the cabinet?
I am saying the ANC National Executive Committee will push hard for Malusi Gigaba to be in cabinet, for Banxolile Dlamini to be in cabinet, for Nomvula Mokonyane to be. They will push really hard. And remember, in the event that they must vote, which they have not done, the NEC, a simple majority of 44 people may say, okay, we are having that minister and that minister and that person in cabinet decide which portfolio.
So I don't think that's the case. I don't think that will be the case because the NEC will not discuss this issue at all. And they have historically never discussed this issue. But I do think, and the trends are showing into two directions. Firstly, Ramaphosa will have to obviously make a bold political statement. So I don't think that he would necessarily appoint people who have been seriously implicated in state capture. But many people in his own support circle have been implicated in state capture. But there are two things that people close to him have been saying. They said he is now in the process of evaluating between those who have competency and those who have political support and constituencies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that balance is going to be important. But that is actually... The cabinet is really not going to be the real issue when it's appointed. Because simply, you say the president will then appoint all his people in cabinet, and Ace Magashule as secretary general appoints all his people as chairpersons of portfolio committees in parliament. Yeah. So if you have a caucus that effectively is like an opposition party to a to ministers or the executive, it's going to be a disaster.
This is where I beg to differ. The consultation process, which includes not only the NEC but the allies, the Communist Party and COSATU and SATU and all of them, they all come and say, yes, we have been consulted. He does not just go and tell them, this is who I'm appointing. He goes to get their buy-in. So these units of the ANC will come in and say, Malusi Kigaba, we're putting that Minister of Women there, Banqulile Dlamini, you put all of them there, and that is the cabinet we want. Jacob Zuma has ignored it only when the Guptas have pushed for it. But during the last 2 years, and indeed during Cyril's first year, they all came out and said, yes, we are happy, we have been consulted. Consulted does not just mean I come in and tell you what I'm doing. I come in and get your buy-in.
But didn't that consultation happen within the top six? It wasn't going to an NEC and saying, are you happy with my choice of cabinet?
The communists have come out and said, yes, we are happy with this. We have been approached and we have been consulted.
Which gets back to my point of the balance between competency and political constituency, and you have to balance that out. My point is, I don't foresee the president regurgitating a cabinet of Zuma. I think that would be ridiculous, considering that there is already almost a lobby for people like Ronald Lamola to be into the executive, young people, Stellan de Benny Abrams to be a to continue being a minister. So there is that lobby, number one. Number two is there's not that many positions, candy to hand out anymore.
It's going to be
because it's going to be
a smaller cabinet.
Yes, and the Minister of Public Service and Administration, Ayanda Dodlo, this week, tweeted and have been having meetings with business leaders like, business...
Business leadership.
And BBC as well, to get buy-in and to get opinions of people. And there's no...
Towards what end? To a better administration?
Yeah, to the reconfiguration of the state.
She's just hired Robert McBride, hasn't she? Robert McBride has just got a job in the public service as chief overseer of clean government.
Breaking news, Peter.
No, not at all. I heard this about three or four days ago.
You really are breaking. But the last point on this topic, on the 26th of May or thereabout, Kanita and Genevieve will be here together with myself. You have to play a clip of this. Banqulile Dlamini will be in cabinet.
I want you to stick to Malusi Gigaba.
We will absolutely play this.
You will come back here.
You must
here.
Prepare your excuses now.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not saying they're not going to be in cabinet. All I'm saying is that we're reading it to be quite superficial. I have the same criticism of people who say everything is going to be great after Ramaphosa.
On the 26th of May, that question will be answered, and lame duck President Cyril Ramaphosa will be stuck there as he is now with people he doesn't want in his cabinet, because the National Executive Committee will have decided for him. Now, mark you my words very well. We will be here on the 26th, and Malusi Kigaba will be in cabinet. Banqulile Dlamini will be in cabinet. Nomvula Mokonyane will be in cabinet.
Robert McBride is giving evidence, or has been giving evidence, to the Zondo Commission, Genevieve. How important has it been? Because it's the first time, if I'm not mistaken, that we've moved from just straight theft to actual machinations in deep state to make things occur. It's a different kind of evidence to Agrizi and those people.
But I think once again, we've had a lot of reports, newspaper reports over the years of these types of things happening, and everyone saying it's rubbish, this isn't happening. And I think this is, again, real proof that this has happened. I think Kenita knows how many times has the Sunday Times written, but half the stuff he's talking about, and you get told you're lying, it's fake news, there it is. There's someone who was in the middle of it.
You know, there's a PhD dissertation to do in what the press reported and what we now accept to be true, because it was said at the Zondo Commission. And actually, there's a lot of it is repetition, as there was a lot of repetition in the Gupta tapes. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff had been reported before.
Yeah, and the thing is, I always tell people that, you know, when you get denials, especially like in my case, I've been writing stories about the former president. Yeah. And I always say, before you jump, just remember Des van Rooyen said he only met the Guptas on one social occurrence. Yeah. Remember Mossi Benzi, remember these denials and where we've come, and now it's almost accepted as truth. And I think that what Robert McBride is very systematically doing, and I think you know, he's one of those witnesses that are coming to the commission with a clear sort of chronology of how things unfolded. And the thing is, even us as the media, we struggle to really get to the bottom of the security cluster and the capture of the security cluster, but also because it was not one entity called the Guptas and their associates capturing the security cluster. It was at different intervals, different interests. And really, you know, people always say that what happens in our security cluster, it can't be scripted for, you know, even for a TV series.
And crime intelligence seems to have played a huge role in paving the way for a lot of the police or the security cluster protection of Zuma.
And it's a repetition. If you saw the Mokgoro inquiry, which is the inquiry into the fitness of the whole office of advocates Lawrence Mkhwebi and Nomthobo Jiba, there's an overlap in the similarity of cases. So if you have to now, in retrospect, go back and design how the capture took place, you would see certain individuals placed here, certain, and the collaboration from the different state entities and external people, the different players. Now, Jen is right in the sense that we've been, all, you know, media have been sort of writing about it in bits and bobs over the years. And you know, if you have to go out and ask someone what happened to Anwar Dramat, people would have forgotten because the world has moved on so much.
So it's good to be reminded.
It's good to be reminded, and also to have contextualized everything to say
in really quite granular detail.
No,
I think it's been amazing. He's followed today, I think, by Johan Boysen, who would probably tell much the same sort of story of infiltration and interference against the police. Stephen Friedman's column in Business Day today was interesting because he sort of agrees with me. I found it very uplifting.
You've been lynched for your opinion.
But basically, what he's trying to deal with in this column is attacking the notion that Ramaphosa will be elected and then just simply removed, because the forces against him in his party are much more powerful than he is. Is that true, Genevieve?
I don't think it's that simple. And I go back to what I said earlier about politicians being chameleons. That, from people I'm talking to, that Zuma camp has shrunk a bit within the NDC. A lot of people are jumping ship because you want that there are jobs up now, and there are less jobs, as we spoke about. The cabinet is going to get smaller, etc. So people need to be on the right side. I don't think so. So how are you going to go into an election with this president as the face of your party, and a majority of your party decide, no, thank you, which I think Stephen said. Electorally, it doesn't look well. The party has, their numbers have been decreasing for the past three elections. They're going now forward, part of their campaign.
Hard to imagine he'll do worse than 54%.
I don't think so. No. But they got to ensure that the election after this one, they're either going up or stay above that 50% to stay in power. So if they screw up within this this 5 years, remove another president, bring someone in who no one's got confidence in, the party's just going to regress some more. Maybe I'm being too positive about it, but I just feel that it would be a stupid move.
Sikonathi, whether or not he reduces the cabinet in size or not is not the problem. His problem is, how does he dispense patronage, if not through cabinet positions, to the NEC, which is what Zuma did? Firstly, he gave them all jobs.
Firstly, I'm amused that Genevieve is surprised the ANC would do a stupid thing. Yeah. I would rather be surprised they would do a smart thing. Mm. They've not proven themselves to be smart at all, and that is the ANC.
Which is what? Where do you vote, by the way?
Do you vote
in Joburg or do you vote in Transkei?
I vote here in Johannesburg, in Lindhurst Estates.
Okay. Anyway, so carry on.
In that area. How does he dispense patronage? Now, this is exactly
with a smaller party. Yeah.
This is what got Mbeki kicked out, because he didn't want to distribute. He didn't think even if you are bad for the country, you are good for him. Yeah. He didn't care.
Yeah.
Ramaphosa has to bring that attitude, which of course makes him more vulnerable to being kicked out.
Yeah.
He doesn't need his job. Okay, he wants it. He doesn't need it, unlike Zuma.
Mm.
Dispensing patronage should not be a big deal for him. If he wants to turn around the state and do what Moody's thinks he will do, and do what South Africans want him to do, he will care nothing about putting people like Banqile Dlamini and Malusi Gigaba in cabinet, but he will still put them in because the ANC is in charge. How does he... He can't dispense patronage. He should not be... That should not be his concern. His concern should be...
But all leaders do that.
His concern should be making sure that the state turns around and functions, and the economy functions properly, so that the ANC can be returned into power in the municipal elections 2 years after from now, with an increased majority. That is his only security. Yes, of course, the lobby within his own party, which is the best opposition party, by the way, Musi Maimane and them are useless, the ANC is the best opposition.
Yeah.
Those guys will push very hard to even possibly increase this cabinet so that all of them can have jobs. That's the stupidity of our politics, unfortunately.
But that's not going to happen, is it?
No, but
it's
I just to make a point on what Jen was saying and what you were saying in terms of it's politics is such a, you know, they use the term in ANC circles called the balance of forces. Mm. And I think that there hasn't been a test of the so-called balance of forces since NASREC. And the test will come in the internal party elections in the different spheres straight after the elections. The Northwest has to go to a conference. If Suprema Mwapelo or his people are reinstated, it's then up to the Zuma faction. The Youth League is going to conference. The Women's League needs to go to conference as well. The Western Cape, what's left of the Youth League. Mm-hmm. But my point is that you can't make a definitive reading of what the ANC looks like and how the ANC will act unless it's tested, and it will be tested once there are intra-party polls. And when intra-party polls happen, that's when you really get down to say who really has...
And KZN has to go to Congress as well, am I right?
No, KZN just had one. KZN is not part of that, but Northwest is, Western Cape is, and then the leagues as well.
Mpumalanga is as well.
Mpumalanga as well. So, and then the other factor is also the issue of premiers and that thing. So my point is that predicting what's going to happen a day after the cabinet is announced is actually a far reach, and it's actually, I think, counterproductive, really, in a point that politics is so fickle, and things change constantly. But I do think when you listen to the president and the campaign, I've been with him quite everywhere.
Yeah,
really.
You were with him yesterday.
So he was in Limpopo, which is obviously his stronghold. He was there with the Limpopo, the provincial chairperson, Stan Matabata, and he was there with like the mayor and et cetera, et cetera. And if you see his...
And he was there with the people who stole the VBS Mutual Bank.
Yes.
Yeah, just carry on there. Just finish your story.
So the point that I was making is that when you see his interaction, you genuinely see almost this sort of turn, especially on provincial leadership, from provincial leaders, almost to say that we don't know, we're not ready to back the wrong horse. Mm. And yes, you still have people in the ANC that, you know, would like, you know, we spoke about Tony Ngeni, who would just be like, you know, I'm here with Ace Magashule, that kind of thing. Yeah. But you really have people within the provincial structures of the party that are quite cautious, number one. And number two is, have started to, with almost a sense of urgency in how they work. For example, I've never seen this before, but there's a door-to-door, and the president was obviously told about the state of housing and RDP houses, which is a normal situation, and then asked the mayor to come and give a presentation, which I've never seen in the previous president, and then she was like, these many houses have been distributed. Yeah. The reason why this woman didn't get it is because she doesn't classify as indigent, you know, that kind of thing, which I think just brings a more depth to politics on a local level than it would you know how we talk about cabinet and the big things, but more on what issues people face every day.
How was he received generally, Ramaphosa in Limpopo?
He was received quite well because it's almost his hometown. But there has been an interesting formula of his campaigning in this election compared to Zuma in the previous elections.
What does he do?
He does not do big events. So they don't bus people in for there has been no stadiums.
Yeah.
So what he does is he does like five events in a day, speaking to 2,000 people at a time. And a lot of the, even if you saw it in Alexandria as well, it's basically people from that area gather into an open field. He talks to them. He moves on to the next event. So I spoke to him yesterday about it, and he was saying that the reason why he's doing this is because it's cheaper, but more importantly is that you then can talk about localized issues to people in that area. So like in Sesheho, for example, that's Julius Malema's hometown.
Yeah, yeah.
So he obviously had to use the occasion to take a jab and say, don't vote for smaller parties who say they're going to be the incoming government. And so that was quite fascinating to see that it's actually a part of his sort of, and also it helps him in terms of as an ANC president to then touch communities and meet people where they are in a to lift his profile, really.
Brilliant. Well, that's all we have for today. We're very close to the election. Once we have the election, we'll finally know what's going on in South Africa, and then we'll have a cabinet, and we'll have this conversation, all of us four again. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you again next week.